The time then must have been somewhere about 6 o'clock. He met a wagoner and tried to make him understand, but the tale he had told and his appearance were so wild, his hat had fallen off in the pit, that the man simply drove on. He was equally unsuccessful with the potman who was just unlocking the doors of the public house by Horsell Bridge. The fellow thought he was a lunatic at large and made an unsuccessful attempt to shut him into the tap room. That sobered him a little, and when he saw Henderson, the London journalist, in his garden, he called over the palings and made himself understood. "Henderson," he called, "you saw that shooting star last night?"
"Well," said Henderson.
"It's out on Horsell Common now."
"Good Lord," said Henderson.
"Fallen meteorite? That's good."
"But it's something more than a meteorite. It's a cylinder, an artificial cylinder, man. And there's something inside."
Henderson stood up with his spade in his hand.
"What's that?"
he said. He was deaf in one ear. Ogilvy told him all that he had seen. Henderson was a minute or so taking it in. Then he dropped his spade, snatched up his jacket, and came out into the road. The two men hurried back at once to the common and found the cylinder still lying in the same position. But now the sounds inside had ceased, and a thin circle of bright metal showed between the top and the body of the cylinder. Air was either entering or escaping at the rim with a thin sizzling sound. They listened, rapped on the scaly burned metal with a stick, and meeting with no response, they both concluded the man or men inside must be insensible or dead. Of course, the two were quite unable to do anything. They shouted consolation and promises and went off back to the town again to get help. One can imagine them, covered with sand, excited and disordered, running up the little street in the bright sunlight just as the shop folks were taking down their shutters and people were opening their bedroom windows. Henderson went into the railway station at once in order to telegraph the news to London. The newspaper articles had prepared men's minds for the reception of the idea. By 8 o'clock, a number of boys and unemployed men had already started for the common to see the "Dead Men from Mars." That was the form the story took. I heard of it first from my newspaper boy about 9:15 when I went out to get my Daily Chronicle. I was naturally startled, and lost no time in going out and across the Ottershaw Bridge to the sand pits.